Well, I do appreciate you and the opportunity to come before you and share a little bit about what the Lord has laid on my heart for us this morning. But has it been a crazy year in 2020 yet? Wow. I mean, it has been a year for the record books. No matter who you are, where you're from, what you do, I mean, you know, and life is so busy, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, things just shut down. The interruption hurts. You know, I think back to the first this year, and life was so busy for me. Business was good. Life was good. I had so many opportunities of things going on. I had goals to achieve and stuff to do, a lot of plans and schedules to attain these things. I mean, it was all laid out. It was going so smoothly. I was just killing it. I mean, I had the bull by the horns, and I was wrestling that bad boy to the ground, and I was fixing to hog tie this thing and walk away. It was that good. I just knew the Astros were going to play a 162-game season. I was going to be there for half of them, and I knew they were going to win another World Series this year. I knew it. I had it all planned out. I had plans. I was in January. I was in Ethiopia and Kenya. And we were planting two churches in Ethiopia, and working with some church plants in Kenya, working on several different mission things going on, and I figured I was going to go back. When I left there, I said, I'm coming back at least twice, and I may be back three times. You know how many times I've been back, right? I mean, life changes quick. 2020 happened. Life, as we know it, knew it, was severely interrupted. A microscopic virus from somewhere in China struck fear and hardship to the world, and a normal day today looks nothing like the normal day of December 27th, 2019, does it? I mean, it is so different. But there are some things that we see in Scripture where things change. My visions, my plans completely interrupted. As I penned this message that I planned to bring to you, and I did so a few weeks ago, I really didn't understand how much it was going to change. Christmas Eve, midnight, Christmas Eve, we usually have this little thing we do at our family called New Year's Eve gift. The first person to call after midnight on New Year's Eve gets a gift, right? And so I'm always asleep, so it's not ever that big of a deal. But the rest of my family usually does it. So when the text started happening around midnight, I'm thinking somebody's going New Year's Eve gift. My phone dings. It's only 11:45. I know you're a little early. Set your clock right, you know. But it wasn't that. My six-year-old granddaughter had gone earlier to the doctor and had strep. And also, you know, every time you go to the doctor, they do a COVID test. And at 11:45, the doctor calls and tells my daughter, you know what, I hate to be Grinch, but she tested positive tonight. And I know she's going to do fine with it. But all of a sudden, they can't come up and see me on Christmas. Life's interrupted. Life hurts that way. And a lot of you experience the same things. You know, it's not like I'm one guy out in the middle of the world having to sail this boat alone. We're all doing this. We're all having things change. If it hasn't happened to you yet in your family, praise God. But I got to tell you something. Sooner or later, something's going to happen that just disrupts your life. That just turns it up absolutely upside down. And while my wife had genuinely prayed and we had been quarantining and doing things we thought we should do, we never expected it to start with our six-year-old granddaughter. But here the interruption starts. Life is different. How am I going to deal with that? Well, that's what I want to share with you today. That sometimes when you put down in paper and pen about how to encourage people to deal with this life interrupted, that God puts it right on your table for you to eat and to grow from. And so here I am along with you growing from this interrupted life. And I want to encourage you as we look forward to a new year that you see ways and know ways to experience God's love, to share God's love, and remain encouraged and full of hope. We're going to look at a few different people who their lives were interrupted. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is the conversion of Saul. So let me begin reading here with you. Acts 9 chapter 1 says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city. You will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and the house of Judas. Look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is chosen. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings of the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me to you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes. He regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened." Here's Paul. "I've got a goal. I've got a vision. I've got a plan. Here I go down the road with my vision. And the next thing you know, his vision's gone. His physical vision's gone, but also his heart vision is gone. He has no idea what's in store for him. No idea. And he kind of sits in this limbo place here for 3 days, waiting on God to just do something. I mean, this is not just anybody. Saul, who will later be Paul, he's a special kind of guy. He's special in the world's eyes right now. You see, he's got citizenship to Rome. He's not just a Jew. He's a citizen of Tarsus. His dad brought him in. His position brought him to where he was also a citizen of Rome, which you would see later on in his life is going to make a big difference on how that he is convicted and persecuted. He's a Pharisee. He's a religious leader. He's a Jew. I mean, the mix of this guy is incredible. And God has a specific person from the purpose for the most unlikely of people. I mean, this is a guy who's out, is a prosecutor and a persecutor of the way. When we see the term the way, they're not yet called Christians. They're just following the way. And so he's looking for everybody who's following Christ. And he's supposed to bind them and take them back to Jerusalem so that he can prosecute them and persecute them. An enemy of the one true living God, although he doesn't really know that he is. He's a real religious guy. He's a Pharisee. He's got it all going on. He's been given authority to do things that most people don't have to do. He's a theologian. He knows more of the scripture, of the Torah, than almost anybody else. I mean, that's what he's done. He's been studying. He's been brought to this place. He's possibly one that could eventually be, and probably would be, a candidate to be the chief priest of the Pharisees at a point in time. I mean, this is not just any guy. I fall into the just any guy category, but he falls into the something special in the world's eyes. His vision was changed. Physically it's changed, spiritually it's changed, and his life focus was completely skewed off his focus for persecuting Christians, his focus on serving Christ. Now it's all changing. The realization of the focus of the world that's against him, that's going to be against him. He comes up with the realization of the sacrifice that he's fixing to make. He would understand completely when those scales fell off and he was baptized. He would understand that this interruption in life was not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. God changed his goals. He was going to become from a prosecutor into the great persuader of the gospel and a great defender of the faith. Verse 15 says that when God spoke to Ananias, he says, hey, look, this guy, you need to go talk to him because he's going to be the messenger to the Gentiles and to the kings and the children of Israel. You see, that speaks of who Saul was, that he had the ear of the king, that he had the ear of the Israelites, but he also, since he had citizenship in the Gentile world, he had the ear of the Gentiles as well. A special individual. But wait a minute. Ananias' life was interrupted as well. Think about Ananias. Here's a man following after Christ, and his life is interrupted by a vision too. And his vision, the Lord comes to him and says, hey, I've got something for you to do. You know what he does? He says, oh yeah, here I am, Lord. Let me know what it is that I'm going to do. I'm ready. And then, like a lot of us, when we hear what we're supposed to do, there comes that big word, but, right? Wait a minute. Now listen, what you're asking me to do is walk right into the sword, so to speak. You're wanting me to just run myself in with this guy because the second I go there and say anything about Christ, he's going to take me in bondage. He's going to take me away. This guy's got a reputation. He's a persecutor. But the Lord shares Paul's vision with him. He tells him what he's going to tell Paul. And I think when Ananias saw that God was going to show him how that Paul would suffer for him, just like he suffered for him, he was able to do that. You know, if he would have come out with a prosperity gospel to Ananias right there and said, hey, look, I need you to go there and take this stuff off his eyes because this guy, Paul, I'm going to give him some wealth. I'm going to make life good for him. And maybe he'll make life good for you. Maybe he won't. We just aren't sure. Well, we'll just give it a good try. There's going to be good days ahead for Paul. I think Ananias might have just said, you know what? If there's going to be good days for somebody, why don't we start with me, God? You know, that's how people think. It's how we think. I want to be a part of God's blessing. I bet if I said, raise your hand if you want to be part of God's blessing, you'd put your hand up fast. I want to be there. But I also know there's a price to pay. I think you're going to find out as our country changes that there's a huge price to pay for being a Christian. I think it's coming. I'd like to tell you, you know, when somebody comes on and says, hey, we're going to have a dark hour coming, and they're talking about COVID, I'm thinking there's a darker hour coming, and it's about the frustration that the Christians are going to understand in this country and the freedoms that I believe we're going to see stripped away little by little. And so as I see those things and understand those things, and as Ananias saw these things and understood these things, he knows that life interrupted could be very dangerous. So Ananias' goals change. And instead of accepting his own goal to stay away from somebody like Paul, he accepts God's goal to go and to speak with him. And he understood he was joining the walk. And he accepted Paul. In verse 17, it actually says, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. Now, wait a minute. That's an act of endearment, an act of love, an act of reaching out to somebody who didn't really deserve, from Ananias' viewpoint, to be reached out to. Brother. He understood the idea of adoption by the king. He understood exactly who he was going to be. And I've got to think Ananias probably reflected on the change that God had made in his life as well. I think for you and I during these times, sometimes when we're looking around and we're seeing the changes, we need to look and see and reflect on ourselves and remember how God changed us to get us to the place that we are today. Ananias' life is interrupted, but God's everlasting love is shown and shared as Paul regains his sight and he's baptized. We see a persecutor's life interrupted. We see a persecuted man's life interrupted. But this time of year, I just couldn't ignore and couldn't just help but to look and add on that there were other people's lives that were interrupted too. Luke chapter 2, says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel and a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. The most common of men . Their vision was changed. Have you ever just walked out on a dark night and you can't see anything? I don't care if you're watching sheep or cattle or nothing. Crickets, fireflies, whatever it is. When it's dark, it's dark. And the only thing that breaks that darkness is light. Well, except for one thing. So, I've got this thermal scope. And it was kind of funny when I got it. My wife gave it to me. And so, I walked out, and if you can imagine a pine forest where I was standing, and I took that thermal scope and I held it up to where I couldn't see at the time anything. It was just black. Matter of fact, I couldn't even see the trunks of the trees. They were probably 75, 100 yards away. I couldn't even see that. It was just dark. But when I held the scope up, all of a sudden I saw deer walking through the woods. I saw the heat in the stumps of the trees. I saw things that I couldn't see before. It was like casting a vision into my eyes that was all right there before me, but I couldn't see any of it. And here these shepherds in the darkness, the most brilliant light shows up. And they can all of a sudden see what I believe is usually around them anyway, the host of angels. They've presented themselves to them. You see, despite the darkness of the night, despite the darkness of what was really going on, where Caesar was taxing everybody and bringing them into everybody's own city so that they could pay taxes to them, and the reminder that you are not a free nation, that Rome owns you guys, those are dark moments in life. There's a lot of darkness around here. Now all of a sudden comes a light, and with the light comes a message of hope. And with that message of hope, there's a Savior. One who's come to redeem me, who's come to purchase back his bride, to save his people from their sins. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Guess what? I'm in the field, I'm sitting here, it's dark, my life is interrupted, and then I like the fact that it doesn't say they went and found substitute shepherds to watch these sheep while they went into town to find their Savior. Like, nope, they all talked and said, let's get out of here. We're going to go see what we can find. My life's been interrupted. I'm a I'm a common man in a in one of the most common lower level jobs on the planet. But won a great pride because their great King David had come from where they were. One where Jesus often refers to himself or is referred to as the Good Shepherd. There is a connection here between these men and our Lord and Savior. Directly through the angels, out of the darkness came a light. Their plans changed. Their plans changed drastically. Instead of just watching the sheep, they're worshiping a Savior. What a great thing. So we've got these three. I'm going to call the shepherds one of three, a group: Paul, Ananias, and the shepherds. And we've got these three. And I know that Paul realized love for the first time. I think he experienced genuine love for the first time. And I say that because I don't think someone with that genuine love in their heart has a murderous attitude. I say that from the change that he experienced. How many people here, married people, at your wedding, read or somebody recited 1 Corinthians 13? Anybody? Nobody? Everybody? Right? For the greatest is love. In there, verse 8, you know what it says in verse 8 of chapter 13? It says, love never ends. And you know who penned Corinthians, right? This is the Apostle Paul that wrote this. This is the Apostle Paul that knew and love never ends. It's the Apostle Paul that when he accepted Christ, when he followed Christ, began to see that there's a lot of gifts that we have. Remember, it's about all the different gifts that are there, but the greatest of those is love. It's all about that relationship. You see, relationship is what I'm all about. In business, it's about relationship. As a pastor, it's about relationship. As a family man, it's about relationship. For my eternal being, it's about relationship. And I don't need any bad relationships. What I need is love relationships. And love relationship starts with the one where love never ends, and that's an everlasting God who has an everlasting love, who determined that he was going to come as a baby in a manger, grow up, live a perfect life, and then give his life away on the cross so that you and I could have forgiveness of our sins. And then resurrect, come out of the grave so that he could overcome the death of sin with eternal life and share that with you and I. That is love so amazing. That's the amazing grace, my chains are gone. Right? You remember that chorus we just sang? Amazing grace, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Like a flood, his mercy flows. Unending love, amazing grace. That's what he's talking about. That's what's happened to Paul. Ananias realized it because we see just in his words, brother Saul, that he understood the eternal adoption by the King of Kings as he calls him brother. And says, all of a sudden we could write the old Family of God song right here, right? I mean, he understands it. The shepherds. Look at what the life interrupted brought them. Because this day we bring you good news. Y'all know what else we interpret as good news in the Bible? The gospel. The gospel is here. This is it, guys. Here's your message. The King has come. The Messiah, the one you've been waiting for, is here. This is the message of love and the promises that are kept by God. This is the keeping of a promise. God's interruption of life led to everlasting love. You know what? How important this is to have your life, your physical life, interrupted at some point in some time, sometimes several times in our lives, to have life interrupted to reveal to us, for us to look a little bit closer, to trust a little bit more, to have that everlasting love fueled up in our hearts. It's important because the defining character of a Christian is that they love one another. That's it. Not that they memorize all the scripture word for word in three different translations. Not that they know all the words to every Christian song that there's to be sung. But relationship. That's the key. You'll know them by their love for each other. Not their love for themselves, not their love for baseball or their love for hunting or some of the things that I really love in life. But the things, how you love each other. You see, life is interrupted by other people's issues, like Ananias, and it's the love that he has for God that leads him to go and love someone that's unlovable. I've been unlovable. I sometimes still am pretty unlovable. Although I think I'm pretty charming sometimes. Sometimes easy to love. The truth is, without God's love in my heart, without the Holy Spirit, I'm as unlovable as any person you've ever known. It's just that way. It's just the truth. So how does this relate to me and the year 2020 and 2021, days moving forward? Well, at some point we have to sit down and reevaluate several things. One is our relationships. I think it's important that at the first of the year, you know, everybody makes a resolution. I'm going to lose some weight. I failed at that one many times over and over. We're going to change this. We're going to change that. I got something for you that's going to hold better than any virus could ever break apart for you, and that's relationship. And I got to tell you something. The world has fought us against relationship in 2020 to a point where it's devastating. The government tells you no relationships unless you're doing it on a Zoom call or FaceTime. And I got to tell you something, it's not healthy. God created you for relationship. He created me for relationship. And this year in 2021, you need to do something, and it's called fight for relationship. In your church, in your small groups that get together, your Sunday school, whatever, however that you guys meet, you need to get involved in relationship. Nothing worse. You say, well, you know, we could die. Yeah, great. You know why that I quarantine myself and get away? I'm a juvenile diabetic. I've got that pre-existing condition that puts me on a high list. But you know why I do it? Not because I'm afraid of the illness. I'm afraid if I get put in the hospital, they won't let my wife in there, and I don't want to be alone. Do I think I ought to take good precautions? Yes. But I do everything I can to fight for relationships. Everything. I came here today to fight for relationship. In 2021, if there's something that you do, it's love one another. And I just got to tell you something. I have a difficult time growing a love relationship through an electrical device. I have a hard time. You know what we've been called to do? Make disciples. This is a concentration of me and the church where I'm at right now. We are making disciples who make disciples. We do it through small groups. We do it through, I've been involved with 7 church plants this year. One in Waller that we just opened up in October. I'm on the management team there, but 2 in Ethiopia where I went and stood on the ground and said, God is, looked across and with tears in our eyes, my friend and I looked at each other and said, this is the place where God would have a church to be. We bought the land. We've got the church. We moved it there. There's things that are going on in 2020 that I'm just Zoom calling. And it's almost tearful every time we go because we want to go back just like we were there last year 3 times, just like we were there earlier this year once. And we want the relationship. We want to go there. We want the travel bans gone. We want all the stuff gone. We want the virus gone. And we want to fight for relationships. We want those things. We want to be making disciples. And let me tell you something. You sitting in a recliner, sitting around wondering when life is going to get better, does not make disciples. Or if you found out a way to do that, let me know. I like to sit in my recliner too. You see, we've got to be more like Ananias. And when God says, hey, it's time to go, instead of us going, yes, but the virus. Listen, when it comes time, when God gives you an opportunity to minister, you minister. I came today out of my personal, I don't even call it quarantine. I get to go to my ranch and hang out. It's not even that bad. It just gives me a good excuse, and there I am, hanging out in the woods with deer and goats and whatever else comes wandering around our place. And you know, it's not bad. But, man, I jumped at the opportunity to come to talk with you guys, to share, let you know some hardships going on with me and the places where I'm having to battle. And where I'm battling is trying to keep relationships going, trying to be a real disciple maker in the midst of a virus. It's not easy. We got to take the light into the darkness. And if you hadn't been watching the news and living life lately, the world is getting darker. And it needs more salt, and it needs more light, and it's you who are called to do it. It's the Christian that's called to do it. Now there's another, you know, as I looked at Ananias and how he did those things, and then I looked at the shepherds and how that the shepherds were seeking a Messiah. They were looking. They were the common guy looking for it, and they got introduced to Jesus that day. But Saul was a little different. He was living in opposition to God. He's not the Christian that I'm challenging you to go out and make relationship with. And it's not just about going to church. It's not about some religious agenda or opposition to a religious agenda. Let me just share with you a fact of freedom. If anybody's here today, and you've been living in opposition to God, you've got to know that the grace of God through His love and forgiveness is available to you because the perfect Son of God gave His life on a cross for you and me. For every person that walks, He was raised and resurrected from the dead. And we share that resurrection with them and can have eternal life. That's as simple of gospel good news that I can bring to you. So I want to do this. We're going to have a time of invitation. And as we have that time of invitation, the invitation is for everybody. The invitation is for those that have been struggling with relationship. The invitation is for those that have had hardships, things that are going on. If you need somebody to pray with you, there's going to be deacons here to pray with you. I'll be up here. But if you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, today is a great day to begin that relationship. And inside your heart and inside your soul, there is a battle raging. But if you want a relationship with the one true God, it's time to fight for that relationship and give the victory to Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to come and, Lord, to examine your word and see the truths that you've put before us, to give us hope and help and love and grace and mercy. I just don't know where my life would be without you, God. Love is just impossible, Lord, for me to have without you. So this morning, Father, I just ask you to speak to the hearts of your people. Bring them to an understanding of what they need to do to fight for a relationship with others, or, Lord, to fight for a relationship with you. May be glorified in the response of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.